Go fuck yourself.
My God, you mean son of a bitch. Look at this. Hey, Undead's like, I'm getting the first fucking word in because I'm going to start before the fucking show even starts. Fuck it. Welcome, everybody. It is
Midnight.
No, it's really not even close. It's 7 o'clock Eastern time. It might be
midnight
for
Scotland.
Yeah, for Duncan. Indeed. There you go. Duncan's rocking the midnight. We are not. We're posers. He's the real deal, and we are the posers.
I'm burning the almost midnight oil.
Shut up. You're just fucking ruining it. You're ruining it. 7 o'clock Eastern. This is TMHS Radio, and we're at tmhsradio.com. And where else are we at? Over at Facebook group. Join us there, The Midnight Horror Show. And on Twitter at TMHS Radio.
Twitter,
tune in. We have a phone
in.
Number, but what's the point? So
you won't call anyway, even if we give it to you, so fuck it.
Who cares? Who would? I wouldn't call it anyways. I wouldn't
call
it either.
I'd
I wouldn't
call it
that
all day
either.
Long and just leave a bunch of shitty messages.
All right, so it's the
sounds
final.
Like a pop-punk band. You never call me on the telephone.
It actually does.
No,
does
it,
sound
it
like
sounds
a...
like a rap song. Like, yep. You used to call me on my cell phone?
He got you there. Got you there. That's a real song, Mark.
It sounds like a Blondie song. You keep me hanging on the telephone.
Everyone just stacked on
Call
Mark.
Me!
Stacked on Mark. Stacked it up like quarter pounders, bitch. All over him.
Fuck, fuck you on about?
Nothing, Mark. Go back
nobody
to sleep.
Stacking exactly. Nothing.
Go back to sleep, Grandpa. All right, tonight it is the final episode of October. We have Duncan defends. We will see if he can go undefeated through the month of October. He's always been undefeated, but we're really going to see if he can make it all the way through October, and maybe one day someone will actually come up with something that give him a loss, but he defends everything so well. So we'll get into that very soon. Second hour, we have Dark's Discussions, which he'll be discussing the making of the Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
You son of a
bitch. It's going to be great. And he might have a little bit of time for Asylum talk.
I don't need the Lord of the Rings soundtrack when I got a troll right here.
Because I don't know if there were.
Now, huh?
I don't remember if there were actually fucking trolls in that goddamn movie.
Trolls, hobbits. What's the fucking difference?
Wow, actually, I don't know. It's hairy feet, hairy palms.
Ask Aaron Mankey. He knows a lot about fairies
and woodland creatures
and nymphs.
Not needed. Not needed. All right, seriously. Before we get into anything, we got to spill our guts.
Always check your candy.
All right, tonight's question is the holdover from last week from Russell, and it bounces kind of off of last week's question, which was, what movie do we think that everyone loves in the horror community but we find to be overrated? So tonight's question from Russell was the reverse. Now we have a movie that is greatly panned by all in the horror community that we think is completely underrated.
I had a really hard time with this one, to be perfectly honest.
Did you? Well, we know where we're going.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Marcus?
So the reason I had a hard time with this is because there's lots of movies that I love that nobody gives a shit about, but I had a really hard time thinking of one that like everybody universally fucking hates that I love.
I mean, we don't have to really hate it. I think it's just got to be, you know.
Yeah, it's ones that are not popular that you
feel should be
it's
popular.
It's the reverse of last week. So, like I said last week, I think Nightmare on Elm Street is an alright movie. I don't think it's the masterpiece that everyone seems to think it is. And that's the same. So it'll be the reverse of that. It'll be a movie that everyone
is alright.
Like, it's alright, but you're like, no, guys, this is fucking awesome. Yeah. Because.
I'm going to have to go with one that like almost nobody's heard of, which really shocks
anybody here that you would
keep
do
telling
that.
People about a movie called Demon's Rook. I think it's still on Amazon Prime free to watch. It's a really, really low budget movie, but it's like everything you love about movies from the 70s and 80s in a fucking movie. And it's like it was crowdfunded entirely on the idea that it would just be like a big fucking effects heavy, like practical effects heavy horror movie. So go check out the goddamn Demons.
Mark,
I can't believe like how
Mark,
many people like huge horror fans haven't seen this movie. I think everyone here has seen it.
Mark, we did an entire episode.
That's about it.
We did an entire episode on this thing.
Have seen this goddamn movie.
it was a total fun movie.
Yeah, it was, and we did a whole episode of this, and I think
we did a whole episode, and I still haven't seen it.
We try to encourage everyone to watch this movie. We all felt that there were parts of it that everyone should at least see. I don't think
I was here. Well, I don't remember this.
You guys are the only motherfuckers I know that have seen this thing.
Well,
Colors put out a fucking shirt based on it. Like, he's seen it. Go watch this goddamn movie.
He's being really aggressive. So,
Do it now.
And Mark technically didn't really answer the question. He just got on a soapbox and yelled about a movie he wants people to watch. I mean, it's not popular,
clearly, because nobody's fucking heard of it or seen it.
You think that this movie's underrated. I mean, you think it should be out there. Everyone should know this movie, that we should be quoting these lines from.
Everybody should have already seen this thing. Well, there's not way a lot of dialogue in it. It's mostly like zombies and demons and fucking buckets.
So it's like a music video.
Synth music, but that's about it.
Exactly, like a music video. All right, well, there's Mark's half-ass way to answer the question, like he mostly does. Me. You do it all the time. I'd kill nobody first. I mean, yeah, this is how you do these things. This is how you do it, Mark. We know how you roll here. All right, well, let's see if we can get a better answer. Here we go.
Now imagine she's white.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Get in my belly!
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
I try to hold it in.
Now,
I
dog.
I can't do it.
Every time they should finish with Song Connery? That's what happens.
Song Connery.
Hello?
Band name.
That is a good band name.
Why is that not happening? That is now the tribute band to Song Connery's non-musical project.
Awesome. Song Connery.
Song Connery.
I love it.
Song Connery. I tell you, this gold just comes tumbling out my mouth week on week, man, honestly.
You got the Midas
shit.
Tongue. The Midas tongue.
Right, so what I'm going for is, it's funny, it seems to be like a Marmite movie. Now, do you guys have Marmite, or is that just me talking shite?
What the hell's that?
Is that like marmalade?
Is that the UK version of Vegemite?
It is.
We know what Vegemite is.
Yeah, we know what Vegemite
is. So it's basically like a kind of fermented meat paste, which you use to cook with or eat on toast. Some people eat on toast. And you either love the taste of it or you hate the taste of it. And that's the kind of road I went down. Whilst this movie is critically well-received, it's not exactly well received in the greater horror community. However, it is actually very well received on this show. It's by one of my all-time favourite directors, Mr. Ben Wheatley, and it is his rather fantastic Kill List. It's funny how many people don't have a clue what's going on in that movie, and it's not that difficult. And when I say a lot of people, no offence to our American listeners and my American co-hosts, it's mostly Americans that don't get this movie. And since you make up the majority of the horror viewing population of this planet, it gets dragged down quite a lot. I think it's acted really well. I think the story has a degree of ambiguity in it, but nothing on the level where it's like, well, this makes no sense. I've just wasted an hour and a half of my life. It's kind of spelled out throughout the movie. I think it's worth re-examining if you have seen it once. I think it's worth sitting down if you've never seen it. It is a great, strange, weird, woozy head fuck of a film, but not impossible to understand. More people should give some love to Ben Wheatley's Kill List.
Kill List is pretty great.
I was about to say,
really
it's Ben Wheatley, for
God's sakes. I
really
thought you were going to say A Field in England, because like my experience with like pretty much anybody that knows who Ben Wheatley, like among people I've talked to, Kill List is the first movie they mention, and for the most part. But these are all people that watch movies like I watch and fucking know about these things. So
yeah, A Field in England is like a lost cause to try and get in. If you do not like that movie, nothing I will say will make you like that movie at all.
That's very true.
You either get it or you don't. And that one, that really is one of those.
A lot of people hate that one. Like the people.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it. Yeah.
Just like the Washington Post says, if you don't get it, you don't get it.
See, Mark, you could have went with that.
Damn it. No, seriously, Mark, what in the world? Marcus had it in the bag and he dropped it. It's all right. It's cool. Everyone makes mistakes, Mark. Everyone makes mistakes. All right, let's hear what this guy even has. This is going to be great.
Let the motherfucker try me, try me. The nefarious Dr. Dark.
Get your hand off my penis!
What's that last clip from? I gotta know.
It's like an Australian. It's like someone's filming someone getting arrested, and he's making a big to do about being arrested from a Chinese restaurant. And he's like, "This is a breach of my rights, and this is a very strong police officer, man. You've got a good grip there." And they try and put him in the car, and he says, "Get your hands off my penis." That man grabbed my. It goes on for ages. He's like, "That man grabbed my penis." On YouTube, you find it. Trust me.
Have you seen that video where the police are arresting the guy? It looks like he's in the lobby of somewhere, and he's like patting him down for a gun. He's like, "Nope, that's your penis."
Yeah, no, he asks him, does he not? He says, "And what's this here?" And the guy goes, "My penis." And he's like, "Okay." In fairness, like, the guy's patting him down close to his knees.
So yeah, he must have a huge hog.
He just said that's what it was.
No, it would seem pretty clear from the video.
Don't argue a dick. Don't argue a dick with Dr. Dark.
I know a big dick when I see one. God damn it!
I'm just glad that we didn't get to see Dark's today. Dark threatened earlier on when he was wearing a certain uniform.
No, don't. He's
gonna go all dicks out for Harambe.
Ixnay.
No, yeah, he was. He was going to take Andy G's idea and go dicks out for Harambe in a big.
Don't say what, please.
But he didn't. What do you? Listen to the trust he has in Duncan.
We don't mention establishments.
No, and he said establishment. I mean, why do you have no faith in Duncan? He was clearly taking care of it.
I'm not drunk in like about 2 months. I'm perfectly.
It was more. I think he was worried. You that I was worried about.
I think he was worried about your original comment. You know, when you started off with Sean Connery, he's like, "Man, maybe I shouldn't trust Duncan tonight. Maybe he's hitting the sauce or something."
Sean Connery's the best thing that I've said tonight, and probably will be the best thing I've said by then.
If someone goes out and makes a band, and it's not someone that listened to the show, we've got to go kick their ass because that's not fair. Yeah. It belongs to someone on the show or that listens.
Yeah, trademark as of what's today's date?
The 26th. We're trademarking
there we go. 26th
it's the 26th here.
It's 27th. Yes, we know the technicalities, Dr. Dark. What is your movie?
So, just for the record, I went and looked up that guy singing Try Me, the acoustic version, and listened to some of it. It was...
Jesus Christ. This is not a movie.
It wasn't that good. You love that fucking song.
He loves
it. That made me go and listen back to, Montana and Louise's version there.
Oh,
all I'm going to say, Dark, is last time that you got obsessed with those two songs, something bad happened, right, that we're never allowed to mention. Abort the mission now.
That's what I'm trying to tell him. This is crazy. He's spiraling. Stop this.
I mean, that was a symptom.
Relapse.
That was just a symptom. None of the other symptoms are present. So the one that I picked, I had to scroll through some lists and look. I had to scroll through some lists because I didn't even know what some of the movies were on some of the lists I looked at, to be in all fairness. But the one that I picked is Grave Encounters.
Oh, yeah, I like Grave Encounters. I do like that movie.
I know a lot of people that don't like that movie. That's really what I'm saying.
I can see that there's probably a lot of people that think it's dumb and it's making fun of, you know.
But then all of a sudden shit gets serious and okay, now I like this all of a sudden. I didn't like it at first.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's real. Shit's real, bitch.
There's a paranormal investigation going on at this house, like right down the road from me on Saturday night. They're charging like $25 and anybody can come. I want to do it so bad.
Well, if you come there.
Is it like a paranormal investigation or is it a keg party?
No, it's a. It could be both. I don't know. It's a paranormal investigation.
I think it's more like a prostate exam in a costume. I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about.
I mean, I don't have to pay $25 for that. I can go get one of those anywhere.
Yeah, you went to glory holes in bathrooms? Or you just go anywhere to get a
stop?
Yeah, I'm glad that you trust anyone to give you a prostate exam, sir.
He's like that. I've got 10 fingers here. Who needs a fucking doctor?
I don't trust people. That's why I get so many different opinions. Just to make sure nobody feels anything strange in there.
Let me ask you, how often have you gotten paid to get a prostate exam? Do they pay you?
To allow them to examine it?
I'm sure there are some out there.
I wish.
You'd be the biggest.
They have to get paid danger money just in case their hand doesn't come back.
Dark, the prostate prostitute. He'd be all over the corners.
He's like the guy version of Teeth.
Yeah.
Like Dark makes you like before he signs up for anything. Dark measures the circumference of their knuckles just to be sure.
I mean, I wonder how many wedding bands are up there. Anyone got a metal detector? Your stomach's just gonna be lighting up like a sonogram on a pregnant woman.
Bitch for him. Then.
Horrible.
I'm gonna like fart and do a ring toss and just shoot him out.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. All right. That's enough of you.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, he's alive.
The undead.
Mr. Undead.
Yes.
Yes.
Duncan did steal my Ben Wheatley Thunder because I was going Sightseers, but I'll go somewhere else now.
Sightseers is great. Another good one. That one's amazing.
I think Sightseers is a great movie. I'm going to go Disco Path. I don't think enough people have seen Disco Path.
Love that movie.
It's one of the modern slashers that I absolutely love. And everyone, just trust me. Listen to Undead. Danny,
I listen to you now. So you just go years later.
Go watch fucking Disco Path. It's amazing.
I will.
Some of the best kills I've seen in a while.
Yeah, after Undead mentioned it, I checked it out and then kind of got slightly obsessed with it. And I think it was like the beginning of last year. I actually interviewed the director.
Dude, that is awesome.
So I just like all the Skype. He's one of the coolest dudes ever. He was supposed to be making another horror movie, which isn't happening now. He's making some Italian style 1970s crime thriller, which I can't wait to see as well.
That's pretty cool. I think Undead started his recommendations way back in the day with what's the one with the giant penis in it?
Gotta narrow
it
down.
Come on, it's the very first movie you ever recommended. And we were all like, oh my God, that was...
Die You Zombie Bastards?
Yes, Die You Zombie Bastards.
Die You Zombie Bastards?
And we were like...
I just got the Blu-ray of that. It's amazing.
Yeah, we were like, this is kind of ridiculous. I don't know what to think. And ever since, he's never steered me the wrong way. Like, everything Undead suggests always turns out awesome. And even now, when I go back, Die You Zombie Bastards. Yeah, well, now you know. Now you know. And knowing's half the battle. It always is. Always is. All right.
You know, it's either Halloween or nothing.
Who else do we have left? Smoke.
Smoke and yourself, Danny.
I'm gonna go.
I know you were trying to slip
I'm
gonna, out.
I'm gonna make
I
smoke.
You, but
I'm gonna. I know. I'm gonna make smoke go last then, since I'm this close to the end now.
I'm not your friend, buddy. I'm not your buddy, guy. He's not your kind of friend.
All right, so I'm going to take the Mark route and not really. So mine, I don't really think should be way up there, but I think it needs a little bit more than what it has. And I think it's because of the label it came out under, and all the other movies were kind of garbage at the time on the same company that was putting all these out. But I really liked Triangle. You guys remember that movie, Triangle?
Oh, my God.
I kind of like Triangle. I do. I mean,
when you get to mine, it's going to be so fucked up.
What label was it on? Dimension Extreme?
Dimension Extreme, you know, and not all
How
those.
How did I know it?
Some of those did not turn out so well. Automaton
Storm
Transfusion.
Warning was good on that label,
too. Storm Warning was good. Automaton Transfusion was pretty good. And Triangle. But some of the other ones around the time the Triangle released, it just lumped it in with a bad group. Audible. And I thought it was a pretty awesome movie. I love the scene. I love the scene when she comes out and there's just, you know, like, well, God damn, that gives it all away. I better not even say that. So.
Triangle's on her tits.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes out
with. It's kind of fucked up when you get to mine.
What?
I thought Danny was going to say R Point, which is a military ghost story from.
You fucking up our ass.
Yeah. Every time we've ever mentioned any Asian horror, that's the first one he goes to.
I love R Point. I love fucking R Point. I don't know
what
is
your point.
I don't have a point. I don't know what it was about that movie. I think it's when the guy's with all the soldiers and they all duck down and he's waiting for him to come back out of the rice field and like no one gets up and he's all. I mean, it's just a really creepy fucking movie. You guys really need to watch R Point. It's amazing.
Freddy Lice Paddy.
All right, so let's hear the fucked up one and end it with the old smoky smoke.
Like, yeah, let's screw. Let's fuck.
Anybody else think that sounds like Wolfman?
She'd yes,
like,
it does.
Me so horny. Me love you long time.
That I say, all right, all right, all right.
we have a halftime lined up for him too.
Mine's it's like a total mindfuck movie.
Oh, Jesus. Is he going to say Serbian film?
No, it's not that. It's kind of based
on Tusk.
No, it's a Spanish film, and it's called Time Crimes.
Oh, dude, Time Crimes is amazing.
I saw this new movie at the fucking festival. It's called Colossal. It's fucking amazing.
Dude, Time Crimes is so fucking great.
It's so amazing. It actually is colossal.
Time Crimes is great. And when you said Triangle, I was like, fuck. Because those came about out at about the
I love Time Crimes.
Time.
I love Time Crimes. That movie's fucking amazing as shit.
Kind of the same premise.
Yeah, but dude, you can't. What Triangle doesn't have is the fucking cool scary mask. It just doesn't have that creepy thing.
Fuck the thing. Pink bandage thing.
Fuck that goddamn thing.
And there was talk of an American remake, but
no,
that fell through, which is good. I mean, if you want to see Time Crimes, just watch it.
Yeah, just watch that.
It's on Amazon Prime. Exactly. You can watch it free if you're a Prime user.
Yeah, take the remake and use Duncan's Super Flusher. You get 25 extra pounds of pressure. Get that thing, squirt it down there.
You can make a doubleheader of Time Crimes and Triangle and
really fuck your day up? Yeah, I guess so. No, dude, that's a great movie. But you're right, though. I mean, I hadn't really ever thought about it until you just mentioned it. Son of a bitch, I'm going to go back and watch that now.
It's like a time travel movie, but, I mean, he doesn't, like, ride dinosaurs and shit.
Say, don't, well, now, hey, hold on now. Hold on now.
That would make it better.
Yeah, they had dinosaurs in Kung Fury and shit, and that was amazing. Don't be knocking on dinosaurs and shit. They had lasers.
This is like a one-hour differential in time travel.
Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with 1 hour of time travel.
Kind of dark. Movie
there's plenty of times longer. I would have loved to just go back 1 hour and chase that shit.
Jesus.
I can think of one right off the top of my head.
Stop, just stop. Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, somebody needs to drop us another question. If not, we'll post it for next week. But yes, Russell, thank you. That was an awesome question. Like it. We need more questions like that. Or which host we would kill. I always love answering that one.
It's always me.
Yeah, well, clearly Undead loves it too, because remember he had the whole
thing. He had a list of things. He said Mark straight away and then had a list of things he would do to Mark.
It was so well thought out. It was insane.
It was like stuffing his mouth full of VHS tape and cutting them with vinyls.
I was very glad you all were so well behaved and respectful toward me in that segment.
Shut up.
I appreciate it.
Everyone was safe from me except Smoke.
Your hard work is duly noted.
Yeah, Russell, see, I agree that Grave Encounters 2 was kind of a suck fest.
It was okay up until a point, and then it was like, oh, what? What the fuck is... What's even going on anymore? I'm so confused.
When he's running around the prison of Azkaban eating the rats and shit? Yeah, he's stupid.
Grave Encounters 2 tried to remake Blair Witch Project 2, and it wasn't nearly as good.
No, you can't touch Blair Witch. And there was no need to bring that up because people are starting to realize they're getting that smack in the forehead. They're like, oh, wait, this is a good movie.
And Russell, to respond to your recent post on Facebook, if he was, his name would be Jaquan.
Oh, see, you know what? You give Russell, we give Russell C a little bit of credit. You give him an inch, and he takes the entire black cock. I mean, he just cannot help but run wild with these things all the time with you, Russell. You and Girl Graves. I mean, if we had a classroom right now, you'd both be having to sit at the back of it. I mean, you guys, you get everyone all riled up. We'd love it. It's great. We appreciate everyone at the back of the classroom. Everyone at the front can fuck off. Fuck you fucking brown-nosing pieces of shit. Get the fuck out of here. You're with the bad kids. Oh man. I was looking at this list. Frozen, yeah. We should have talked
Frozen.
Frozen. Yes.
Not Do you want to build a snowman?
No, Adam Green's Frozen. Adam Green's Frozen.
I knew he was gonna
guess.
Of course, he's the only one that knows that damn song. I don't have a fucking clue what he's singing. Something from that goddamn movie. All right, so it is time. It's finally time for the final.
Let it go. Let it go.
You need to let it go. It's time for the final.
You're trying.
Duncan defends. Tonight, our undefeated lawyer's client has been called a lot of things. A ruiner of franchises. And the worst goddamn film they ever saw in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's been slammed every which way. And Duncan's here to change our minds about it. Tonight, he is defending Scream 3. Duncan?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Trilson. Yeah, so what I decided to do with the very last one, we were banding around a few ideas, and we could have went for like some truly horrendous ones, but I thought, you know what we should do? We should actually go for one that I genuinely feel is the worst in the series. And I know that might have made some people spit out their beverages right now. So what?
Dark Dave.
Number four is not the worst. No, number four is not the worst. Number three is the worst in the Scream franchise. And yeah, a lot of things have been flung at it. A lot of these accusations that it basically destroyed the franchise, I argue maybe not so much. I think even if this movie had been great, I don't think the Scream franchise had massive longevity beyond what we actually got. And it does come out a little bit after the original Scream, so it wasn't as if we were getting them back-to-back like some of the great slasher franchises. This one was released 4 years after the original. Scream 3, I've seen Scream 3 many times, and I'll be honest with you, every time I've watched it, I've not enjoyed it. I have great difficulty trying to get my head into it. So, just purely to challenge myself this time around, I was like, you know, I'm going to defend this movie. Motherfucking defend this movie. And I sat down and I went through it all. I went through it all twice in prep for this appearance. So if this is your first time listening or you are a repeat listener, let me just explain the rules again. I'm going to, through five exhibits, try and pique your interest to check out Scream 3 again. Now, at the end of my case, if you want to check out the movie, check out some scenes from the movie again, or even remotely interested in watching it for the first time, that is a win for Duncan. If I get to the end of my defense and you're like, no, fuck this movie, fuck it, then that's a win to, I don't know, someone else that isn't me. So let's do this. I really had forgotten quite a bit about this movie, and then coming back to watch it, I didn't realise how satirical the movie actually is. I mean, it's very kind of tongue-in-cheek towards the film industry. So whereas the very first movie was kind of playing around with the meta ideas of slasher horror, by the third one here, we're just having fun with the filmmaking machine that is Hollywood. Kevin Williamson kind of adapted the script a number of different ways, but this is where it ultimately kind of settled, much to his disliking, actually. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is one of the strongest points in this movie, and that is Gail Weathers. That's right, Courtney Cox, she of Friends fame, Monica Geller, and she has a kind of counterpart in this one, which I absolutely love, which is like the actress version of Gail Weathers, and their interactions throughout this movie are brilliant. It's like buddy cops, but they're both trying to be the same person. So it's two actresses trying to play the same character, but one's even more animated than another one. Oh, so exhibit Lord. Number one is the case of the Tale of Two Gales, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Charlton, please.
Oh my God, listen, I know we've never met, and I don't mind you never returning my calls, but I have to tell you, after two films, I feel like I am in your mind.
Well, that would explain my constant headaches.
You know, I'm sorry things didn't work out on 60 Minutes, too, but Total Entertainment, that's a pretty good fallback. Oh,
thank you. I'm sorry that things didn't work out with Brad Pitt, but being single, that's a pretty good fallback.
Gives me more time for my work. After all, Gail Weathers, you're such a complex character.
Oh, and to be played by an actress with such depth and range.
Jennifer.
Jeez.
What the hell are you doing?
Being Gail Weathers. What the hell are you doing?
I am Gail Weathers.
Here's how I see it. I've got no house, no bodyguard, no movie, and I'm being stalked. Because someone wants to kill me? No, because someone wants to kill you. So now, starting now, I go where you go. That way, if someone wants to kill me, I'll be with you. And since they really want to kill you, they won't kill me. They'll kill you. Make sense?
None.
You know, in the movies, I play you as being much smarter.
And as a sane person. For you, that must be quite a stretch.
That's funny.
Ha!
Need to get in that building.
Yeah.
Your story in that building.
Maybe.
Gail Weathers would find a way. What are these movies? Amazombies, Space Psycho, Creatures from the San Andreas Fault?
Horror pictures, back in Milton's heyday.
Back in what?
John Milton, the horror producer.
So you knew Sidney Prescott's mother?
Who?
Rena Reynolds.
Do you know how many actors have worked for me? Hundreds, well, thousands.
He didn't say she was an actor. Good catch.
I remember. She was a bit player in a couple of my movies. A nobody. So what does it matter?
Oh, come on. You have made millions off the story of her murder. You're obsessed with her, and you're obsessed with her daughter!
Right, easy, Geraldo.
Now you listen
What's
to me,
What's a daughter?
Lois, let it go. It's dead and buried.
How would you like to see it dug up on national TV?
It was in the 70s. Everything was different. I was well known for my parties. Men knew what they were. It was for girls like her to meet men. Men who could get them parts if they made the right impression.
Doc's
Nothing parties. Happened to her that she didn't like in one way or another. No matter what she said afterwards.
Are you saying she...
I'm saying things got out of hand. Maybe they did take advantage of her. You know, maybe the sad truth is, this is not the city for innocence. No charges were brought. And the bottom line is, Rena Reynolds wouldn't play by the rules. You want to get ahead in Hollywood? You got to play the game or go home.
If you want to get ahead in Hollywood, you need to give head.
Yeah, exactly.
That's carry around a decapitated head.
Liz yeah, Henderson just fucking.
That's basically how I imagine Lance Henriksen's entire career. And at the end of every sex session, he just turns and looks at him and says, not bad for a human. So I don't know where I was going with that. So this is the third installment. I imagine pretty much everyone listening to this has seen Scream 3. I can't imagine a scenario.
I have not.
You've never seen what the fuck, Mark?
No, it's terrible. Why would I sit through a fucking piece of shit?
You're worse than Dr. Dark right now.
You've seen the first two.
Because you're on the jury, motherfucker.
Thank you.
There's plenty of horror series where you can stop at like two or three and fine.
You or have you not watched Hellraiser Revelations?
Yup.
Right, now...
That's part nine.
That's part nine of about at least three or four of those movies, which were shit consecutively, and you still watched that movie.
Yeah, for a show.
Ooh, look, he's, well, what is this? Don't fuck with a lawyer, Mark. He is tearing you apart right now.
anyway, right, let's come back to this. So this is the third installment. The first movie, groundbreaking, a word that has been flung against Scream. It really did kind of rejuvenate the horror industry. Big business, and the horror's kind of really been riding that wave since Scream, and riding it like pretty much into the ground. And every now and again we get something that is just truly fantastic, and we get a lot of stuff that kind of muddles along beside it. The second Scream movie, I think it's all right. I don't actually think it's a great movie. It's a kind of good sequel with a dumb as fuck ending. I mean, like the reveal in that movie is fucking
Aunt Jackie was the killer.
Yeah, all along.
Aunt Jackie.
And let's be honest, as soon as you saw her in that, you were like, you're the killer. I mean, like say, wait, you're a bit unhinged.
Aunt Jackie was a fucking crazy bitch.
And her sidekick is the obvious killer in the movie as well. When you saw him, you were like, we don't even need to ask the question, boyfriend killer, you're the killer. By the time we get to the third one, a bit of time has passed now. Neve Campbell's character, Sydney, no longer lives amongst the rest of the population. Instead, she lives remote. And guess what she does for a living? Answers the fucking telephone. What the fuck, Sydney? You know what I mean? What are you doing answering the phone for a living? But anyway, that's where she is. And what we find out very, very quickly is that this was planned as a trilogy, which the fourth movie kind of destroys this movie. But as part of a trilogy, the rules have changed. Now, in previous movies, the rules were explained to us by the help of our very, very good friend, the horror geek Randy. But Randy died in the second movie, and as a result, we might not know what the rules are to the trilogy. What happens in a trilogy of horror movies? Well, in this movie, we are very handily given a videotape, a VHS, which Randy recorded before his death, which in the unlikely event that more murders happen should be delivered to Sydney. And for our listening entertainment, I have I picked that sample right from that movie. And this is Randy's Rules, exhibit number 2. Danny, please.
The reason I'm here is to help you so that my death will not be in vain. That my life's work will help save some other poor soul from getting mutilated. If this killer does come back and he's for real, there are a few things that you gotta remember. Is this simply another sequel? Well, if it is, same rules apply. But here's a critical thing. If you find yourself dealing with an unexpected backstory and a preponderance of exposition, then the sequel rules do not apply. Because you are not dealing with a sequel. You are dealing with the concluding chapter of a trilogy.
Trilogy.
That's right. It's a rarity in the horror field, but it does exist. And it is a force to be reckoned with. Because true trilogies are all about going back to the beginning and discovering something that wasn't true from the get-go. Godfather, Jedi, all revealed something that we thought was true that wasn't true. So if it is a trilogy you are dealing with, here are some super trilogy rules. 1. You got a killer who's going to be superhuman. Stabbing him won't work. Shooting him won't work. Basically, in the 3rd one, you got to cryogenically freeze his head, decapitate him, or blow him up. 2. Anyone, just including the main character, can die. This means you, Sid. I'm sorry. It's the final chapter. It could be fucking Reservoir Dogs by the time this thing is through. 3. The past will come back to bite you in the ass. Whatever you think you know about the past, forget it. The past is not at rest. Any sins you think were committed in the past are about to break out and destroy you. So in closing, let me say, good luck, Godspeed, and for some of you, I'll see you soon. Because the rules say some of you ain't gonna make it. I didn't. Not if you're watching this tape.
Oh,
are you fucking kidding me?
This is part of the defense?
Oh, you son
listen,
of a bitch.
Wait. I'll tell you why it's part of the defense, because what Randy does is basically spell out exactly the tone of this movie. I hadn't realized it before, but he explains exactly the tone of this movie and why you shouldn't take it seriously, why there's so many goofy characters, and why the ending of this movie is so over the top. Have I blown your minds yet? He basically tells you exactly. Right, enough of that. Right. He basically explains the entire pattern of the movie. So as a result, from that point, everything that happens is kind of expected, and as such, you shouldn't be outraged by it. So there we go. What I love about this movie as well is that at this stage, they were spending quite a bit of money, but we are post-Columbine at this point. And as a result, violence was kind of frowned on in horror movies. I don't know if you knew that, but in 2000, a lot of horror movies didn't have the blood. The kind of viscera or the attack that they'd had just even 1 year before. Wes Craven had to fight pretty much tooth and nail to get as much violence in this movie as possible. I think he did quite well with it. But what I like is the ingenuity and the deaths. And one of my favourite deaths in this movie is actually one of my favourite deaths in the entire Scream franchise. And it's this idea of actors and actresses running about the place, playing different people, not having a fucking clue what's going on, and then they're being stopped by the killer, who then starts to fax them the script of the movie. So line by line, they're pulling these like scripts out of the remember fax machines, ladies and gents. These faxes are coming through, and they're reading them, and it's basically explaining what's happening, as revealed in exhibit 3, movie murders.
Okay, outside, everyone, stay together.
Interior Jennifer's house, living room night, the script page.
Oh, what's it say?
The bodyguard stabbed to death, the 5 stand trapped.
He's rewriting the movie.
As the killer waits outside, suddenly the fax machine sends news of their fate.
It's a trap! Everybody outside! Outside where he can pick us off one by one?
The killer prepares to grant mercy to only one of them.
Get it. The killer says he's outside because he wants us here inside.
Which one is
Come
it?
Come on!
Who will survive? Is it Jennifer, Tom, Angelina, Dewey, Gale? The killer will get mercy too?
Come on!
Outside! I gotta
know what happened! Mercy to who?
I wanna know what happened!
I wanna know what happened!
Wait for the fucking movie!
I've gotta know! I'm going back in, man! Bring everyone back! Stay together! And the killer will get mercy to whoever...
avoidance and doubt of clarity there. He actually says, whoever smells the gas, who runs back at the house, sparks his lighter to read the sheet. Kaboom! Kapow! He's fucking splattered into it. I think that kill was great, because there's a playfulness about this movie, which I really dig. The first movie kind of had it. I mean, let's be honest, Ghostface gets kicked in the testicles, smacked in the face. He's ragdolled about the place quite a lot in that first movie. It's even more over the top in the second movie. It's like he gets shot, stabbed. Like everything happens to him in the third movie and he keeps surviving, but we're playing within the rules of the trilogy, as Randy would say. I love that kill because at this point, watching the movie, you just genuinely don't know what the fuck is going on or how he's going to die. This is the first time like we've seen a death as well, which is kind of like ridiculously over the top. It's generally people getting stabbed. Not in this movie. Someone gets fucking blown up. A lot of people don't like the reveal in this movie. They think it is too much over the top. It's too nonsensical. It's like, oh, of course it's your... Sorry, Mark, I'm spoiling this for you horribly. It's your long-lost half-brother that you didn't know anything about from your mother's secret affairs where she was raped on a movie set. And it is kind of ridiculous, but I love God knows how many slasher movies where the reveal of the killer is even more ridiculous than this. I adore Giallo movies where the reveal of the killer doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Freddy, looking at you, bastard son of a thousand maniacs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that gets mentioned in other movies, which I easily forgive and forget. Because I'm having fun. And I was having fun watching this movie this time through. The reveal is over the top. And I've not even mentioned at all yet the main reason that you should have quit this is that Jenny McCarthy is hot as fuck in this movie.
That is true.
Motorboating.
I could go down that road, or the fact that Roger
Corman... I'd wear her skin as a suit.
Damn.
Okay. Would you like to fuck Smoke? Smoke would fuck Smoke. or the fact that Roger Corman's in it, or Lance Henriksen's in it, or the fact that the cast is actually really bitching. The reveal in this movie is silly, but watching it this time, I actually kind of liked it. So this is Exhibit 4, The Great Reveal.
You're not going anywhere, Sydney. It's time you came to terms with me and with Mother. Maybe you never knew her at all, Sydney. Maybe you just can't get past the surface of things.
Who the hell are you?
The other half of you. I searched for a mother, too. An actress named Rena Reynolds. Tried to find her my whole life. And 4 years ago, I actually dragged her down. Knocked at her door thinking she'd welcome me with open arms. But she had a new life and a new name. Maureen Prescott. You were the only child she claimed, Sydney.
You had it mentioned on the creed.
In the cold forever. Her own son. She slammed the door in my face, and she said I was Rena's child, and Rena was dead. And it struck me. What a good idea. So I watched her. I made a little home movie, a little family film. It seems Maureen, Mom, she really got around. I mean, Cotton was one thing. Everybody knew about that. But Billy's father, that was the key. Your boyfriend didn't like seeing his daddy in my film too much. He didn't like it at all. Once I supplied the motivation, all the kid needed was a few pointers. Have a partner to sell out in case you get caught, find someone to frame. It was like he was making a movie.
You. This is all because of you.
Mother's dead. There's nothing you can do about that. I still got to make my movie.
Step 3, right?
Oh, shit.
You
careful, Sid. Randy said the killer's always superhuman.
Yeah, well, he wasn't superhuman, Dewey. He wasn't superhuman at all.
Six times!
Six times! That's my favorite because he's like trying to get in the car and still say six times. You're like, what are you doing, Donald? it's kind of ludicrous and they kind of backfill it in a way, which I know some of the people on here don't like Skeet Ulrich, so maybe this makes it more palatable that he came up with the idea in the movie. Just putting that out there. Shameless plug to try and get more votes.
Skeet!
That's a horrible name. Horrible name. he's the grand poobah, the mastermind behind it all. He set up everything from the very beginning. I was just thinking about this while that clip was played. Is the Scream franchise out with Hellraiser, which obviously has to have that ending, is the Scream franchise the only franchise where essentially the same thing happens at the end of every single movie? Ooh. Oh, the killer's dead. Oh, no, here they're back up. Is that?
I think it might be. I don't think it doesn't happen in. Happens in several of others, but not
you
all.
You need to use a box to send them back, but yeah. I can't think of any more. Maybe the listeners out there will know a bit better than me. Smok kind of mentioned something when I was mockingly talking about Creed. And this is where Undead tries to kill us all and get us taken off the airwaves. There's a whole hell of a lot of Creed in this movie. A whole hell of a lot of Scott Stapp wearing that sexy, sexy white, bleached white
tank top. I just
threw up my mouth a little bit.
And those tight, tight, tight leather trousers. Standing on the edge of the cliff with the wind machine on. His long gold locks of hair just like traveling in the breeze.
Amazing. It sounds amazing.
We also get Nick Cave to counteract that.
It's almost as if, Smoke, you had listened to my final exhibit because this is one of the first movie soundtracks I ever bought. Because I had disposable money at that time. I was buying a lot of CDs at that time, and I can't
CDs
remember.
CDs nuts!
Yeah.
Order!
I can't remember exactly why I bought it, but I remember at the time there was about two or three bands from this soundtrack that I ultimately would end up buying their albums from. One of them wasn't Creed, so you can hold back on your laughter. However, I do think
I have
the
Creed
soundtrack...
CD.
This particular one, the previous two movies had soundtracks which had an accumulation of artists, but I think you can really look back to this movie to set the tone for kind of early to mid-2000 horror movies using whoever the popular bands are of the day, metal ones, usually on Roadrunner Records, on soundtracks. And that's why you get your things like Freddy vs. Jason and the Mummy.
Yes, Masters
and all
of Horror,
it became Roadrunner would be like, oh yeah, we'll put whoever our bands are that have got albums out this year, we'll pick the best songs, we'll shove them on these CDs and pass them out. And it was a good way to get a kind of compilation of sorts. Yes, you had to wade through some shit, but every now and again you got something good. And I think the Scream 3 soundtrack is like a pivotal cornerstone, almost a linchpin of that entire movement. And as such, I submit to you... Exhibit number 5, Mr. Traxon, if you wouldn't mind, please. Imagine that air blown in the breeze. Oh, yeah. My way.
Don't you dare, Mark.
Bring the latest rock on 98.7.
LeSean!
guys want to be Metallica. So they just...
Oh yeah, there you go, Smoke.
Yeah. Oh, this is my shit.
My jam.
See, Dark is mouthing the words to every last line of this song right now. And he is rocking the fuck out. Holy shit. Oh, here he goes. He is getting into it. This is amazing.
Oh god, help me. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot expect any movie that has Nick Cave on the soundtrack.
True. True. Dark loves bad seeds.
There's no such thing as bad seed, baby.
Dr. Dark in the butt seeds.
Darky Dark in the butt seeds.
It's the content TV news shit, Connie fucking Chong. Hey, Connie, how's Maury?
Oh, got it. She is on phone.
See how she's looking at me?
Oh, man. Sold.
Yeah. So, I love the soundtrack to this movie. I really, really do. I actually love the soundtrack more than I love the movie. But coming back and looking at it, here is my closing statement. Now, I have clearly not won over everyone. I am very much aware of that. And I set myself a Herculean task coming in here to put forward the case as to why you should reevaluate a little bit of Scream 3. Yes, it's over the top. Yes, it's nonsense. It's pure, pure nonsense. It's a popcorn movie. You can turn your attention off to it, come back, and you're not really missing that much. But the cast are having a blast, and it comes through on the screen. You can tell that they really do set the mythology of everything that happens to do with the Woodsboro murders. Or I mean, even down to the fact that Cotton Weary's in this movie right at the very start, and he has a show called 100% Cotton, which I think is pretty fucking hilarious. Do you love a little 100% cotton? I do. I really, really do. But the casting is having a lot of, like I say, it's well done. The cast are having a lot of fun. The reveal at the end is pretty ridiculous, but like I say, I can list off at least 20 movies where the ending, in slasher franchises, where the ending is far more ridiculous than this. And I love them, so I can't really hold that against it. I love the addition of Lance Henriksen, like I said, Roger Corman earlier on. The soundtrack is, like I say, is of my era. It was at the right time for me. I kind of got into it, kind of love it. And the deaths are actually pretty good in this movie as well. They're not as ridiculous and over the top as previous ones, but considering Wes Craven basically had to fight to get those ones in, and some people could argue that, yeah, it is the franchise killer. And I can't really disagree with that. It did take almost a decade to get the next Scream movie out, which I think is actually a better movie, mostly because Emma Roberts is in it, and I love Emma Roberts. Chanel! sorry,
yes!
I lost it there, Chanel Aween. But yeah, in defense, in closing on this one, Scream 3 is a terrible movie. It really is. But it's a fucking blast to watch. Watch it this Halloween. Sit down with the popcorn. Sit down with your friends. Laugh at how fucking obnoxious Dewey is. Why is he still in this movie? Why is Randy speaking beyond the grave? Did we really need it? Yes, we did. God damn it. Bring him back. Bring him back. Resurrect him. That's Scream 5. Scream 5, Randy comes back as a fucking zombie. He's a ghost killer. Boom!
That'd be awesome. Interest.
Ghostface killer.
I don't know, though. I don't know if I can really like Randy anymore after what's his name on the TV show. I kind of like that kid.
That's what, allowed. You are allowed to do that.
Whatever his name is. I can't even think of what his fucking name is. What is that motherfucker's name?
Ice Cube!
What is his fucking name?
Noah.
I couldn't think of his goddamn name. Noah. All right. So let's start getting... Well, first of all, we've already got an innocent from Alicia Newman. She's about to be driving home.
Guilty from Brickjack.
Hold on. All right, so we got a not guilty, and then we have a guilty from Brickjack. Back before even Exhibit 4, I received a message from Ricky Helming Morgan.
Oh, he's definitely condemning this movie. He doesn't like it.
Right before Exhibit 4, he writes, "Okay, I've heard enough. Sorry, Duncan, but guilty. This movie is like duty on the street. It just sits there and stinks."
Please tell me he didn't use the word duty, though.
Actually, he did. He said, "Duty on the street, it just sits there and stank,"
Excuse me, I didn't read it in the right urban tone there. So
you should have said he didn't say it's like dewy on the street.
Oh,
See what they did there.
Yeah, I liked that.
Sean Connery.
Sean
Connery.
I gotta make a statement here. Whoever.
Lisa Ann says innocent.
Yeah, Lisa Ann. And speaking of that, someone got her kicked off Facebook for 3 days for something she posted in this group. Don't make us mark it private again. It's so much easier for
if we find
to find
out who you
public.
Are.
Quit fucking with that shit.
If we find out who you are, your page is going to be covered with dicks.
We are going to
Nazis.
We're going to send every
and
listener
see
after
dicks,
you.
He means just pictures of his dick.
Yeah, we're gonna send every listener
no big
after
dicks.
You with
big
everything.
Dicks.
We're going to fucking attack the shit. So the witch says Nick Cave may get me to vote not guilty, but we're not sure yet. So we're hanging on to that one.
It says popcorn and soundtrack equals innocent.
Oh, all right. So it's
thanks,
a
witch.
It's a 3-2 right now. It's 3 innocent, 2 guilties.
Yeah, I've not got a strong feeling about it this week, guys. I really don't.
Okay, so let's go ahead and Madman Gamer says innocent.
Oh, that's the first time I think Madman has sided with me this season.
he says though he's biased because, like he said, it was the first DVD he ever bought. He didn't see it in theaters, and because that is a soft spot in his heart, along with Friday the 13th Part 5. All right, so fair enough. So, Girl Graves, we still need to see your vote. Did we get Russell C's vote? Russell C, anywhere? Anyone else? All right, so
Russell C has not told us yet.
All right, we're turning to the hosts, and we're going to start.
Oh, Darren says he's on the fence with this one. Come on, Darren.
Uh-oh, Darren, come on.
Vote with your heart.
Darren, vote with your heart. Vote to make it better. Vote guilty.
Like
then
a Taylor Dane song.
Make TMHS great again.
Oh, jeez. All right, so Dr. Dark. Dr. Dark.
That's what we're doing. Listen, that's what happens as of next week.
Make TMHS great again. That should be our campaign next week. Yes, that is definitely what we're going to do. All right, Dr. Dark, we'll turn it to you.
Well, along those lines.
That is amazing.
The fuck was that?
It's the Transformers.
I had my eyes closed. I didn't see you press the button there.
I almost got a full-blown erection when I heard that. I'm just like, you know.
I love the Sharktacon. That's what I imagine is Duncan in the movie standing there on the edge of the Sharktacon.
With a huge boner. Girl Graves says not guilty. And
Russell C says guilty.
Yeah, that was the first one Mark told us.
Okay, all right. So Girl Graves says not guilty. All right, Dr. Dark, where are you going with this?
Oh, no, I'm wrong. It was Brickjacks that he said first. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, along those lines of making things great again, I think Scream made the slasher franchise great again. And I think...
We're not doing Scream, you know. We're doing Scream 3.
Exactly.
I understand that. But listen, as an installment of that franchise, I think that it did its part for the time of making things great again. The soundtrack certainly contributed to that. I love the soundtrack. I bought it until it wouldn't play in my CD player anymore. So I'm voting not guilty. This was easy for me.
All right. And another one came in from Amy, not guilty.
Oh.
All right, so, Mark, guilty or innocent?
Have I made you want to watch it, Mark?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Asshole.
No fucking way I'm going to waste time on this piece of shit.
That was the funniest, most direct thing.
And I've heard years and years that this movie sucks, so fuck no.
So guilty? Guilty for Mark?
One again.
Guilty?
My God, see the next time you tell me on this show that you sat down and watched a shitty horror movie that you knew was shitty before you watched it, I'm going to rain down on you an unholy fucking flame of rage.
That's true. And Duncan does not forget, trust me.
I do watch shitty movies, but I'm not going to watch this one.
Oh, my God. All right, Smoke.
Especially after the clips that played. No fucking way.
Oh, Lord.
I think the defense did great as always, but there was some things that the defense didn't cover, like Courtney Cox's haircut.
What the fuck does that matter?
Which was fucking horrendous in this movie.
Oh, you're a fucking asshole.
I just assumed it was a wig. I just thought she was maybe going through like a bad bob phase or something.
I don't even know.
Dick. You're a dick.
And then, yes,
I mean, we know how selective you are about such things.
Like the killer, he's revealed to be a pussy at the end. But before that, he's taking on five people like he's goddamn Shokasugi.
In fairness, Billy and Stu are pussies.
True, they are. They turn the big reveal into a big silly Warner Brothers cartoon when they start stabbing each other and go, whining about it.
I'm feeling woozy, man.
Put me back in Hackers with my pigtails. Ooh, and butt lip. Ooh. Fucking Matthew
Lillard. My dad's gonna be so angry with me.
Oh, like, whoa, Scoob. Fucking dumbass motherfucker.
But my decision comes down to it originates with Silent Jay and Silent Bob.
Silent Bob and Silent Jay, yeah, sure, whatever you just tried to say.
Jay and Silent Bob.
Okay, there you go.
Because that means that this movie is part of the View Askew universe.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And that means that Dogma is also part of the whole Scream universe. Mm-hmm. And in the end, all the Scream movies, that Alanis Morissette is actually God.
Yeah.
So, and I fucking love Alanis Morissette, and she's got
my
it.
My God, what a long
and this movie is not guilty.
I should have just led with that line. I should have just had one exhibit, and it was Smoke saying that. That is the greatest defense ever. Sorry, I cut the cap to you.
I mean, he went all the way around the whole goddamn house and the bush. What the fuck, dude?
I fucking love that.
If Alanis Morissette is God, then everything's great.
To break in, Darren says that reasonable doubt means not guilty.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Oh, shit. All right. Undead?
Since how that guy just stole my fucking line.
Oh,
this is the most difficult I have ever had with any of these motherfucking decisions.
Oh, shit. That's right, because the soundtrack didn't sell him at all.
You just fucking killed it with the soundtrack.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Killed it in a good way. It, like,
no,
today,
no.
When it
killed
it,
like,
you killed
fucked it
that's
up.
That's a good thing.
No, oh, you didn't God. Save it at all.
Oh, shit. Oh,
guilty.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh.
I thought I'd never do that to you, man, but that's...
Oh, shit.
More than anything that's been said on the show.
Oh, that is painful. That's painful.
I thought I'd never, ever do this to you, Duncan, but
well,
God damn, I hate that movie.
For the same reasons that
quote
Undead...
quote the Hellman guy, it is a steamy pile of shit.
No, Duty. It's Duty.
Duty,
Ricky
sorry.
Said Duty.
Hellman.
Darren Wilson definitely says, Cole Kimsel adding the View Askew universe connection cements my not guilty vote.
Oh, who was that? Who was that?
That's Darren Wilson.
All right, okay. So where's that? Did we ever get one from the witch? The witch was kind of deciding. Did we decide?
Yeah,
yes,
the
innocent.
Witch said
innocent,
not
right?
guilty.
Okay.
He said not guilty. Soundtrack and popcorn.
All right, I'm gonna end it with not guilty too, because for the same reasons that that Undead does not like this movie, I am sold completely on the soundtrack. The soundtrack
loves
sells
the soundtrack
me.
Soundtrack should tell you enough.
The soundtrack is nostalgia.
It's amazing. I'm sorry. I mean,
if I want nostalgia, I'll listen to goddamn fucking Sirius FM.
I mean, we get tired of Lucy and Fred and Ethel and all those channels.
For a Geico commercial.
So that vote is 6 votes for guilty and 9 votes for not guilty.
Oh, that was close.
I have
pretty fucking close.
Yeah, I somehow Mark added one over there.
On the show.
I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for guilty and 11 for not guilty.
No.
Okay. Well, sure. You put one over there in that guilty category. Since I'm definitely going to believe you, the one that really expressed how guilty you think this fucking movie is. I think the bean counter moved a bean.
Marks was my favorite answer because I was just like that. I was all full of hope and enthusiasm and optimism as I leaned in, smiling, caressing my microphone right in there with longing eyes going, Mark, you go check this out. Mark's like, no.
Yeah, he's just like, nope.
Mark dropped trout and took a shit on all of it. Love it.
Mark said
you presented a very strong case, but the fact of the matter is no, I'm not gonna go watch this movie anytime soon.
I hate you.
Mark said no when I asked him. The way he said no is exactly the same way my 2.5-year-old says no when I say, is it bath time? He goes, no.
No.
That's exactly how you did it. Well, you gonna watch this movie? No.
Oh. All right, so Duncan is undefeated, and I've seen some people throwing around Thanksgiving, which I think is perfect for Turkey Day.
Is someone shitting his coffee?
I'm sure if you ask Mark if he wanted to go get in the tub with you, he wouldn't say no.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
Thanksgiving 3, I think, should be the one.
Even though you voted against me, I liked it.
I think Thanksgiving 3 should be the one we do.
Yeah, Thanksgiving 3 is
god awful, and that's the one we should do for Thanksgiving. If he can pull that one off, it will be a Thanksgiving miracle. I will feast to that. All right, so Duncan, you have done it again, and
I got a couple of weeks off now. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you a couple weeks off. Shit, that means we gotta plan the first fucking hour now. Oh shit! All right, we'll take care of that. Yes. So when you return, everyone, give it some time, give it some thought. Let's make sure when Duncan returns to the courtroom, he's got some really fucking hard hitters. Right? Let's turn up the second season of it.
Let's go down the holiday road, like you were saying. So
holiday road.
Two Thanksgiving horror movies, and then in December, maybe we run the gauntlet and do terrible Christmas horror movies.
Oh, yes.
Such thing.
Yes, there are a couple of them. I'm sorry.
No such thing.
Well, we all like
that one's awesome.
Yeah, he's...
That's awesome. awesome movie.
This is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. All right. Oh, shit. We got to hurry up and quickly go. So let's get into this.
What about
the
Black Christmas remake, Undead? That's a bad
song. Oh, that Black. Hold on. There's titties.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
There's titties in Black Christmas, though, somewhere. In the remake. Yeah,
but there is a lot of titties, but there's also a lot of shit.
Nice, beautiful Black Christmas.
All right. We got to head to the party. Smoke's party where he's not here. He's not here anymore. All right, we're heading back out to the party, and let's get everyone situated.
Boy, it's windy.
It is windy, dude. It's windy at the party because he's out on the
shut the door or something.
It is Indiana Jones.
Oh,
it's about time for Echo. It's time for Echo.
I'll hug you right now.
And it's the perfect song because we're really getting into this shit, and it's getting late in the night of the party, and people are dropping like fucking flies. Rooms. Should we mark the rooms off limit now? The two that people were killed in. Let's slice it up a little bit. Those rooms are totally off limits this time. So that takes away the arcade, right? The arcade it takes away,
and the bedroom.
All right. So the arcade and the bedroom.
Wait, there's got to be a third room that's off limits too.
Why? If we roll the dice on that, we'll just keep going again.
Well, because this is the fourth week of this, so. There's got to be another room that someone died in.
Was there another room?
There has to be.
I don't remember anyone dying in any other room.
The arcade is what was last week.
What was the week before? I don't remember anyone.
The bedroom.
We've only done it 2 weeks.
That's what I was about to say. This guy's
got three.
Okay.
Yeah, we had three.
Get it together.
Yeah, we only did three for October, dude. You thought four because we would have... Because
this is the fourth... October show.
Yeah, we didn't do it in the first week.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see, he doesn't remember stuff like that. Okay, so that means bedroom arcade is off limits, so let's see where people are going. Lisa already says where? Lisa's in the...
You didn't post the map.
I don't need to. There
the
are. Oh, yeah, let me see here. Well, they're already all posting under this thing now. I don't want to throw them all off now. They're all... Everyone's posting under the list of the party participants. All right, so everyone remembers it's the arcade. Yeah, maybe we'll post it under these comments just for anyone that's not.
Can't go in the arcade. You just said.
Who went into the arcade?
You just said nobody can go into the goddamn arcade.
Oh, I know. I was just naming off the rooms. I was trying to remember the goddamn rooms, you motherfuckers. I couldn't remember all the fucking rooms.
So the first one you name off is the one that no one can go into.
You want me to fucking kill you? Do you want to fucking die? Like, because I will fucking kill you, sir. All right. There it is. It's posted right there where everyone is. The bathroom. Wait. Where? The bathroom is where the witch is?
Yep.
All right. Witch is over in the bathroom. And Lisa's in the smoking lounge. Amy's on the dance floor. And Darren Wilson, he doesn't know where he's at. He's too drunk, but he's got to be somewhere. And Andy G is still hanging out in that smoker's lounge. Man, you guys are really playing with fire, just hanging out in there. All right, now they're trying to convince Alicia to come hang out. I don't know if this is a positive influence on Alicia. I don't know how. You know, we all know how Andy G is. He's the one doing the dicks out for smoke thing.
What?
We all know we're glad that Smoke's dead, actually. So, All right, so, theater. All right, Claudia is over in the theater.
Yeah, I'm going to the home theater as well.
All right, Duncan's going to be in the theater.
What are we watching, Duncan?
Scream 3!
I'm not
going in the theater now, I'm going to the bathroom.
Oh, right, bathroom. Undead and the Witch
got sick.
Are in the bathroom. All right, let's see here. Darren, where's Darren? Darren doesn't know yet?
He said he hasn't seen the map, but he posted right under it.
And Tabitha's still hanging out in the bathroom.
That's a long shit, Tabitha.
She's building a fort in there or something, she said. she's building a fort. Lance! Oh, Lance isn't here to pick, so Lance is going to be stuck on the dance floor, isn't he?
Stuck on the dance floor.
Ricky, where's Ricky? Is Ricky around? Mike Dotson. No, there's no Mike here. All right, so they're going to be in the dance floor too right now until we hear otherwise. Mike's there. We got Claudia. Steven? Any Steven? No? Steven, you're in the dance floor. There's a lot of motherfuckers dancing right now. Monica. Where's Monica? Monica hasn't picked. Monica will show up late, I think. All right, so Lance and Amy they're doing the Dougie together. Okay, so Darren's going to the theater because he acquitted the movie. All right, so what hosts? Mark is dead. Smoke is dead. Undead's decided.
In, the theater.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so is Alicia as well. I don't know if you picked up him.
Alicia's where? In the
In the theater.
In the theater as well.
All right, so. All right, who's left? Where are you at, Dark?
I got to stay in the theater because I got something on my pants last week.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to go to the Smoker's Lounge. Yeah, I'm going to go to the Smoker's Lounge with Andy Jean Lee's over there. All right, so there's Danny and then everyone else that has not reported in.
Let's see if someone's leaving.
Mark? Where's Mark?
Mark's dead.
Mark's dead.
Oh, did Mark die last week?
Yeah, you remember? He was hanging out in the arcade with everybody that died.
Anybody threw me a Tide pin. Thanks.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty nice. All right, so I guess that's everyone that is here, so we got to roll on. If you're not, you're on the dance flow, and that's where you're going to be. All right, give the dice a roll, and then we got to go to halftime real quick and come back to Dark Discussion. It is a 2. Is 2 off limits? 2 is the bathroom. Holy shit.
I died.
The Witch, Undead, and Tabitha are all
Girl Graves
dead.
Undead.
Oh, crap. And the Witch.
Yep, Scream 3 killed me.
Witch, Undead, and Tabitha all died tonight, and it's just going to get crazier. So for those that survived, congratulations. Keep stumbling around the party, and next week we'll see where else it goes from there. All right, so we're going to do halftime now, and we are playing a wonderful halftime of scurry music from Smoke's favorite artist ever, DMX. We're going to play Damien. We're going to do Damien, and then we're going to do the second one, The Omen, with Marilyn Manson. So we'll be right back.
Def Jam. Rough Riders. My nigga TP, creep with me.
Why is it every move I make turned out to be a bad one? Where's my guardian angel? Need one? Wish I had one.
I'm right here, shorty, and I'ma hold you down. I'm trying to fuck all these bitches, I'ma show you how.
But who?
Name D like you, but my friends call me Damien. And I'ma put you into something about this Damien. You and me can take it there, and you'll be the hottest nigga ever living.
That's a given?
You'll see.
That's what I've been wanting all my life. Thinking about my little man, so I call my wife. So your dad's about to make it happen.
What you mean, my nigga?
I'm about to make it rapping. Today I met this cat. He said his name was Damien. He thinks that we're a lot alike and wants to be my friend.
You mean like Chucky?
Yeah, just like Chucky.
Dad, looks like we both lucky.
Yeah, the snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog?
Hey, O.D.
What up, D?
You just smooth, nigga. I seen you with nobody know who pulled the trigger.
Yeah, you know, it's always over, though.
You sure? I could've swore it was over a hoe.
Nah, that ain't my style.
Nigga, you stay frontin', but you still my man. I ain't gonna say nothing.
got your weed, go ahead, smoke it.
What?
Go ahead, drink it.
Work?
Go ahead and fuck shorty, you know I can keep a secret.
Right.
I'm about to have you driving, probably a Benz, but we gotta stay friends. Blood out, blood in.
Sounds good to me, fuck it, what I got to lose? Nothing I can think of, any nigga would choose. Got me pushing the whip, taking trips across seas. Pockets stay laced, nigga, I flush G's. Well, that nigga, I will bleed, give him my right hand. Now that I think about it, yo, that's my man.
The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog?
You like how everything is going? You like what I gave you?
Yeah.
You know if you was going down, I'd be the one to save you.
True.
But yo, I need a favor. These cats across town hate me. What's their behavior? Has it been too good lately?
What? Anything for you, dog. Where the niggas at?
38th and Broadway.
All right, let me get the gat. Run up on them strapped. Bust off caps and four niggas. Lay low for about a month and kill two more niggas. Now I'm ready to chill, but you still want me to kill.
Look at what I did for you, dog. Come on, keep it real.
Alright, fuck it, I'ma do it. Who is it this time?
Hey, yo, remember that kid Sean used to be with in 89?
Nah, that's my man.
I thought I was your man.
But yo, that's my nigga.
Hey, who your biggest fan? You can do it, or give me your right hand. That's what you say.
I see now, ain't nothing but trouble ahead.
Uh-huh, the snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog?
In the fog, the fog, living in the fog. How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? How you gonna see him if you living in the fog? The snake, the rat, the cat, the dog.
To be continued, motherfuckers.
Oh, God. Please don't take my child. He's not ready to die. Oh, God. He's going to take it from us. I hear him coming.
What's this?
He's not ready to die. Oh, God. He's gonna take him from us.
It's you right here, shorty. Told you I got you. Like the way I scooped you when them baggy niggas shot you. I'ma hold you down. I mean, yeah, for real.
But every time you beef with a nigga, I end up having to kill.
Ain't like that. Hey, forget about them two kids. About to get a deal. This is nice you is.
Oh, you think?
Nah, I'm just playing for shop. Got some new bitches. Know you trying to fuck.
Nah, not really.
What? Ain't your man no more? Because a nigga don't need a hand no more. You know how we do. One don't score. We all take the butchie and go up in the raw.
It's like now, where you going? I ain't trying to take it. Fucking with a nigga like you, I won't make it.
It'll be what it is.
Yo, you in for the night? I'm about to take it to the crib.
You get home, my
the snake, the rat, the cat, and you dog. How you gonna live when you're ill, you get far? The snake, the rat, the cat, and you dog. How you gonna live when you're ill, you get far?
Yo, I ain't fucking with this nigga no more. Word to my mother, fuck it, so you know I'm for sure. Word to my brother, it's like he's gotten worse than before. So now I wonder what type of dirt this nigga got in store for me to get under. Then I get the call, yo.
X, police just killed your cousin. I live in the projects. Don't get back, niggas do pay. Him, I got you. Told you I got you. Yo,
I got you. I'm in the catch 22, but them niggas got the pay. But I know he gonna be asking for a favor one day. But fuck it, I ain't got no choice in the matter. In fact, I killed my people, and I wanna see him splatter.
That's what I'm talking about. We ain't on no kids shit. And I'ma use the same gun that you killed them two kids with. Is that hard to live with?
Nah.
So you still a player?
But what you want from me?
I'll tell you later.
Snake, the rat,
Central. What the fuck have I gotten myself into? The mental is like, get the fuck out of there. I'm out.
Hey, going somewhere?
Nah.
What you bag for?
Fuck it, what you want?
Can your nigga come and die for a minute and puff blood?
Here we go again.
After what I just did, was you acting like that? When you asked for that favor?
Yo, I ain't asked you for shit.
Oh, yes, you did. When you really needed something, when you allowed me to give. You showed me your soul when you didn't say no. Just let a nigga go.
Give me what you owe.
Fuck what you think, ain't shit for free. And the motherfucker you know can defeat me.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And with your help, I know the devil won't win.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Which one's worse, the soundtrack or DMX Undead? Oh God! What a
no
quandary!
Fuck comment.
What a quandary! Oh shit! All right, so let's turn it over to Dr. Dark for Dark's discussions, and tonight he's doing asylums. Dr. Dark?
Yes, we are going to do asylums and sanitariums tonight.
Sanitarium.
Sorry.
I was about to do the exact thing.
Would you? Oh, that's so yeah.
Throughout the month, we have discussed various scenarios that resulted in energy and spirits being trapped in a particular location, resulting in paranormal phenomena. Many of these instances also involved individuals who were alive being subjected to confinement and torture, which preceded the occurrence of paranormal activity. Tonight's discussion will center on a special set of circumstances in which individuals were kept confined, mostly without their direct consent, and were subjected to procedures that are considered cruel and torturous by current standards, but were acceptable medical practices at that time. Tonight, we will take a look into the world of sanitariums and asylums, and we will talk about some of the most notable haunted locations of this type. Many of the customs of treatment for a wide range of mental illnesses and disabilities, commonly referred to as lunacy, migrated to the United States from Europe. The term lunatic, which is now considered to be insulting at worst, or an inappropriate joke at best, was used quite commonly by medical practitioners and the legal system throughout the Middle Ages. Lunatic is derived from the Latin term lunaticus, meaning of the moon, as it was widely believed that a range of illnesses such as epilepsy, fevers, and madness were influenced by the cycles of the moon. The term insanity, while not normally deemed offensive, is rarely used these days in favor of more specific terms for psychiatric diagnoses. The word is derived from the Latin term sanus, meaning healthy. Therefore, insanity indicates a lack of health in the mind, rather than focusing on the brain as an organ. As the 18th century began, the state and communities only supported a handful of people with mental illnesses, most of whom were either imprisoned or confined to workhouses. Mental illness was seen as a domestic issue left for families and communities to sort out on their own. By mid-century, a handful of charitable institutions began to spring up in both Europe and the American colonies. The Religious Society of Friends opened the Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia in 1751. A portion of the hospital was set aside for the mentally ill, and the first patients arrived in 1752. The Commonwealth of Virginia is recognized as the first state to establish an institution for the mentally ill. Eastern State Hospital, located in Williamsburg, Virginia, was incorporated in 1768 under the name Public Hospital for Persons of Insane and Disordered Minds, and its first patients were admitted in 1773. The Enlightenment gave birth to a new philosophy that madness was a disorder that required compassionate treatment and could rehabilitate the individual. Much of this change in philosophy regarding the treatment of individuals with mental illnesses arose from the mental disorders suffered by Great Britain's King George III and his remission. As time wore on, many more public facilities were constructed to house individuals with mental illnesses, and treatment methods evolved with the times. Many public institutions were built in accordance with the Kirkbride Plan, established by Philadelphia psychiatrist Thomas S. Kirkbride. His philosophy was that the physical space in which the patients were housed was a part of the curative process. Facilities established according to the Kirkbride model typically included large, imposing buildings of Victorian architecture, having a number of long, connected wings that were staggered to promote natural light, fresh air, and privacy for the patients. Many Kirkbride institutions also included farmland, on which patients could work as a vocational and therapeutic component of their treatment process. We will discuss two institutions influenced by Kirkbride later. As quickly as facilities grew, they were filled, as the courts were typically involved in labeling a person as a lunatic or insane rather than doctors, and institutions were quickly filled with paupers, vagrants, and others, deemed by society to be undesirable rather than those who needed treatment for mental illness. At the same time, there was no clear distinction between levels of illness. Therefore, doctors at asylums began to face overcrowded facilities with populations that included violent criminals, those with mental handicaps, a range of mental illnesses lacking the definitions that we now have, substance abusers, and those who were simply destitute and alone. There is little wonder that the success rate in treating and discharging patients was quite small. As a result, a variety of so-called treatments were undertaken, many of which will be discussed as we begin to talk about several noteworthy institutions that are now considered haunted. I mentioned earlier that the Commonwealth of Virginia is noted for having the first state-sanctioned asylum known as Eastern State Hospital, but I would be remiss to conclude our discussion without mentioning a notorious superintendent from another state-run asylum known as Western State Hospital, Dr. Joseph DeJarnett. Dr. DeJarnett was director of Western State from 1905 to 1943. At the time that Dr. DeJarnett arrived, Western State was known as a progressive institution with stately buildings and well-manicured grounds where patients could take walks, plant flowers, and allow the scenery to help with their healing. Despite being an early advocate for humane conditions as opposed to keeping patients locked in basements with poor hygiene, Dr. DeJarnett was also a huge proponent of eugenics, specifically forced sterilization of institutional patients. He lobbied the legislature hard to pass a compulsory sterilization law so that those deemed unfit could not reproduce and breed more and more unfit individuals, as the system, such that it was at the time, was struggling to keep pace with the patient load. The law was eventually passed in Virginia, and a number of sterilizations occurred at Western State under Dr. DeJarnett's leadership. Along these same lines, DeJarnett testified against Carrie Bell in the landmark United States Supreme Court case Buck v. Bell, in which the court upheld states' rights to sterilize individuals deemed unfit. Although this practice fell out of favor after World War II, largely due to its parallels with practices employed by Hitler and the Nazis, and states abandoned the laws allowing sterilization, the Supreme Court case ruling has never been formally overturned. Let's turn our attention now to one of the Kirkbride institutions well known in popular culture and paranormal research. Just outside Boston sits what's left of the Danvers State Hospital. The hospital was built in 1874 and opened in 1878. Interestingly, the site of the hospital is Hathorne Hill, site of the home of Judge John Hathorne, who presided over the witchcraft trials in nearby Salem. The Gothic-style building was made of bricks and granite and cost about $1.5 million to construct. Many referred to the imposing edifice as the Castle on the Hill. The original facility was 750,000 square feet in size and designed to hold about 450 patients suffering from a variety of mental illnesses. The original philosophy of treatment forbade the use of physical restraints and sought to focus on curing the patients rather than just hiding them away from the public. Although the patient load grew to nearly 2,000 in the early 20th century, funding did not allow staff to grow at a proportionate rate and care began to decline. The use of so-called special garments, which were likely something on the order of a straitjacket, and electroshock therapy to control patients became common. It is even rumored that the practice of performing lobotomies originated at Danvers State. This procedure involves cutting away the connections to and from the prefrontal cortex of the brain. The hope was that this procedure would stunt the brain back into a surgically induced childhood state, such that the patient could be retrained and become mature again absent their prior mental deficiency. Many lobotomies resulted in death or patient suicide, while others left patients with emotional and intellectual defects. Just as requests for increased staffing fell on deaf ears, so too did efforts to maintain the facility. The original Kirkbride building was finally closed in 1989 after decades of neglect, and the remainder of the facility closed down in 1992. The building was purchased in 2005 to be renovated into luxury apartments, but progress was slowed due to a mysterious fire in 2007. The facility has been featured in movies such as Home Before Dark and Session 9, the video game Painkiller, and the book Project 17. It is also thought that Danvers State inspired the Arkham Sanitarium in H.P. Lovecraft's The Thing on the Doorstep. Surprisingly, there have been few reports of hauntings at this location aside from one claim of capturing an apparition in a photograph and a few random stories. This may be due in part to the inaccessibility of the facility for exploration and investigation. However, due to the inhumane conditions that occurred and the painful treatment for patients, many say that the haunting that occurs in this former asylum is itself mental, causing visitors' own feelings of fear, doubt, dread, and agony to manifest. In the 1850s, the Virginia General Assembly authorized the construction of a Kirkbride Asylum in the small town of Weston. Prison laborers began the process, soon to be aided by skilled stonemasons brought in from Germany and Ireland. Construction soon stalled, however, as the American Civil War broke out and Virginia was divided. In 1863, West Virginia was admitted to the Union as a state, and construction on the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum soon resumed. The first patients were admitted in 1864, with construction continuing until 1881. Originally designed for 250 patients, the Gothic and Tudor Revival facility grew to an overpopulated capacity of 2,600 in the 1950s. Paranormal activity has been in the picture at Trans-Allegheny from the outset. Its grounds consisted of 666 acres, with 666 obviously being the biblical mark of the beast from the Book of Revelation. It is said that some of the dimensions of the building were based on secret Masonic formulas brought from the Old World Masons. Patients were locked in cages where they raged like animals and were left in their own filth, often in chains. Over the years, it was not uncommon for one deranged patient to kill another patient or asylum worker. A number of female workers were raped, and one nurse went missing, only to have her rotting corpse found months later at the bottom of a staircase in an obscure corner of the building. Apparitions of patients, doctors, nurses, orderlies, and management are too numerous to mention, as well as the sounds of moaning, squeaky gurney wheels on tile floors, and guttural laughter. One apparition of a patient who committed suicide seemed to follow a doctor to her home, and it stayed with her when she moved to a new location. Civil War soldiers are seen on occasion as well, and the fourth floor seems to be a particular hotspot for paranormal activity. The facility was closed in 1994 and was auctioned as surplus by the state in 2007. Trans-Allegheny is now open for tours, including ghost tours, for those who are daring enough to spend time in the abandoned asylum at night. Those with mental illnesses were not alone in being subjected to banishment from society and confinement for the purposes of medicine. Throughout the country, a whole other system of institutions sprang up to confront an epidemic of tuberculosis, ultimately leaving behind more abandoned and reportedly haunted facilities. One of the most prominent of those is situated in Louisville, Kentucky, and is known as Waverly Hills Sanatorium. It opened in 1910 as a two-story hospital for tuberculosis patients, hoping to isolate them from other hospital patients and thus reduce the spread of the disease. The philosophy of treating TB had much similarity with the Kirkbride model of mental health facilities, exposing patients to sunshine and fresh air on open-air porches. The facility was originally designed for about 40 patients, and the capacity eventually reached 400. Though it was very often overcrowded, and stories of mistreatment and experiment trickled out. It is rumored that nearly 63,000 died at Waverly Hills, but records only account for roughly 8,200 in the 50 years the facility was in operation. Waverly Hills had a death tunnel that would allow the coroner to pick up the constant stream of dead bodies from the facility discreetly without being in full view of other patients to help with morale. The sanatorium closed in 1961, and several failed attempts were made to revitalize the property as a nursing home, a prison, and the location of a statue similar to the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Tina and Charlie Mattingly purchased the property in 2001 and have stabilized the structures, allowing for tours, including a haunted asylum attraction, and the grounds have also been home to a Sounds of the Underground music festival. The facility is known to be a hotbed of paranormal activity, including sounds of screams and footsteps, and the ghost of a little boy named Timmy, who enjoys playing with rubber bouncing balls. Room 502 has several paranormal stories, including that of a nurse hanging herself, and one falling to her death from the window of the same room. Unlike the case with mental illness, medications to successfully treat tuberculosis began to emerge, and the need for patients to be isolated in sanatoriums began to evaporate. Since the forced closing of state-sponsored mental health asylums due to poor conditions and lack of favorable outcomes, much of the care for mental illness has been pushed back into private and community-based programs. In recent years, it seems as if more attention has come to the topic of mental illness, and it remains to be seen how it will be addressed. One can only hope that the ghosts of past mistakes with confining and treating those in need will remain in the past.
You, it's funny you were talking about the eugenics.
Yeah.
Actually, the building that I work in, I don't want to say, and I've talked about this before except for this part of it. The building I work in's had like a lot of weird shit happen in it over the last like 30 years. I mean, we've had a girl almost murdered in the basement with some construction worker tried to slice her throat with a straight razor. Some kid just went missing. They never found him again. And another one came in there and blew his brains out on the first floor of the building. Anyways, just recently, here in like the last 3 weeks, they announced that they were renaming the building I work in, because the original name that it was named after a famous eugenics doctor at the university that was all about, you know, trying to make the perfect breed of human through sterilization of the, I guess it was the people right up at the tuberculosis clinic up the hill, right? I'm guessing at Blue Ridge?
Probably.
I don't know. But yeah, I thought that was weird because, I just found out that I'd been working in a building that had been named after some crazy eugenics doctor for all this time. So maybe that's why I have all that bad shit going on in my building. I don't know.
Because they got TB. Oi. Oi.
I mean, it could be. Yeah, but, you know, these people, you know, I'm not going to say that guy's name, but Dr. DeJarnette was revered as a, you know, an upstanding citizen, a fine doctor, a great physician at his time, because that was the only thing that people knew at the time. I hear that goddamn echo again.
Amy says, bless your bones, Dr. Dark. It's goddamn. Oh, dude, Waverly Hills looks scary as shit.
They all do. I mean,
one of the old hosts on the show actually went to Waverly Hills and did a night tour, didn't they?
Wasn't that a Weezer song?
Night tour?
No, never mind. Waverly Hills?
Could be.
That's Beverly Hills, you fucking idiot.
Waverly Hills.
Oh, you're such a moron.
That's where I want to be.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was singing that, especially when it came to the sterilizations and lobotomy time. The whole concept of all of these different types of treatments just sounds ridiculous now, but I don't know that we've really replaced it with much better. That echo is really killing me. Where the fuck is it coming from?
I think it's Smoke is listening to the show as we record.
If someone has the goddamn feed on, turn it off.
Is it coming through on me?
I don't know. You know what? When I think of all this talk, and, you know, actually, Claudia brought up a good one. She brought up a Madeline Rue book. It's a young adult novel. It's called Asylum, and that was a neat little series. They're easy reads. They're fun. You should check them out. Those are pretty cool. But what I really think about when I hear about asylums and sanitariums and all this really, really, you know, creepy over the shit or over the top shit, you know, I don't really think of these dark hallways and these horrible scenes of, you know, people in straitjackets and shit like that. I don't know. I first thing that comes to mind for me is always, you know, Runaway Train. So many secrets. Am I alone with this? Am I alone? Am I alone in
you're such a
I do though. I mean, like a Soul Asylum.
I thought you were gonna make a serious point. Maybe going to session 9 or something.
It was a serious point, you son of a bitch. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say
where
the Soul Asylum?
Simon lives in a runaway train.
Yeah, a runaway train. session 9 was it's
Danvers.
Yeah, it was, and that's I don't know, that's up there as one of my favorites filmed in any asylum. And there's a lot. I mean, I know there's been a lot in all the stuff we've talked about, but asylums, it's really knocked out of the park, right? I mean, we've got a ton of movies that are filmed in asylums. Right?
Well, Dark mentioned one earlier on in Grave and Canvas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Grave and Canvas. That wasn't a mental institution. Yeah.
Everybody mentioned In the Mouth of Madness.
In the Mouth of Madness.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh,
that incidentally, John Carpenter played that live on Saturday.
Oh,
just stick it in and break it off.
I like that. You know,
it did play it live on Saturday.
Can he not talk about it? It's not Duncan's fault that he canceled the show that Mark was going to go to. I mean, Duncan didn't call John Carpenter up like I know
Mark
he actually did.
Mark gets to see Dillinger, though, and I don't think I'm going to get to see them on the farewell tour. So.
Well, it's probably about the same as their premiere tour. Not much difference. I'm just fucking around. I like Dillinger. I like Dillinger. I'm just fucking around. Yes, Russell C., that picture is definitely making the case for modern eugenics. Maybe we shouldn't change the name of our building.
Well, I mean, in fairness, they didn't get to all the people that they wanted to sterilize.
Clearly they didn't. Are you serious? Clearly that did not happen. So Russell C. says, ironic that Dr. Dark is talking about mental illness.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
I know. You've got to.
If he only knew the true irony of this series.
He's such an idiot.
Yeah. So it seems like a lot of, you know, the horrible treatment of mental illness started, you know, right here in the good old Commonwealth of VA.
I mean, are you surprised that they wanted to sterilize people here in Virginia? I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise
to anybody. Dr. DeJarnett was actually... Really,
I know Dr. DeJarnett. We're good friends.
He was okay. If you look at a picture of him, he definitely looks like a Nazi. He's got a shaved head and those little round glasses. He looks like, you know, Dr. von Himmler or something.
I don't need to look at a picture, dude. I remember him very clearly. We hung out all the time.
Okay. Well, he was really pissed that not many. First of all,
he's pissed that no one showed up to his birthday party. I do remember that, and that was fucking bullshit.
When he was lobbying for the law to be. When he was lobbying for the law to be passed and people weren't picking up the case and, you know, moving the ball forward with passing the law, he said that those legislators should be sterilized for their stupidity. And he was really mad once the law got put in place that the U.S. wasn't on pace with Nazi Germany, with the number of people who were being sterilized.
Whatever happened to this guy?
Do you just think well, this guy, like, just got to the stage where he just liked the idea of sterilizing people, because it seems like he just uses it forever. Well, this man has parked his car in my parking space. Have him sterilized.
Yeah, really. This guy...
You know, someone ate my sandwich in the fridge. Says someone, have him sterilized. Seems a bit like, oh, they don't agree with me. Have them sterilized.
Grab the bars.
I mean, it was like that, though. There was a time where if you look at some of the sheets that they would mark, you know, yeah, they have this, they have this, they have this, they need to be in a mental institution. I don't think there's anyone on this show hosting right now or anyone listening that wouldn't have been thrown into a mental institution. Am I right, Dr.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I was saying. It wasn't doctors making a diagnosis that this person needs treatment. It was the courts and, you know, the justice system mostly saying these people need to be institutionalized. It was family members who were saying, I don't know what the fuck to do with this person anymore. Take them off my hands and sending them into these institutions.
Well, as horrible and as crazy as it all is, this kind of behavior is really what fuels the wonderfulness that is most of H.P. Lovecraft's stories about helping describe the craziness that these people have seen, such ungodly things that humans should never witness, that it just drives them absolutely insane. I mean, most of his stories end with someone in an insane asylum or should be in an insane asylum or killing themselves because they can't deal with the insanity of it all. So I don't know. Asylums are creepy all the way around, though. I mean,
we've already talked about it on here before, Return to Oz. That's not supposed to be a scary movie. It's one of the most terrifying movies I've ever seen, and most of it is because the things they want to do to Dorothy. Yeah, the electroshock treatments that they want to do to Dorothy. It's creepy. There's the book that we did for Tabitha's book club horror store a while back. That was more about a prison. I should have brought that up last week. But what he was using in his prison were a lot of these methods that Dr. Dark was talking about. You remember he's got his like the chair that was like draining the blood out of them and the oxygen and making them see, you know, the truths or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy shit they tried.
Did you mention Pinhurst earlier?
No, I didn't. Were you not listening?
No, I did.
I just wanted to know for sure. Actually, I told Dr. Dark to try to test everyone.
Let's have smoke sterilized.
We should.
Pinners was like a whole huge deal about them just torturing the mentally disabled and enslaving them pretty much with forced eugenics. And then now it's a family fun spook house. If you go there, they kind of just poke fun at what happened there.
I mean, that's just, it's easy to do when it's that far away in the past. You know, nobody that's connected to half these people.
I mean, it's not really
around.
That far away.
It's like you put like a roller coaster at Auschwitz.
It's, I mean, it's not really that far away. They only stopped doing some of these things, in the 1970s. I mean, it's within our parents' lifetime that they stopped institutionalizing and sterilizing people and stuff.
True, but I don't know a lot of people that get worked up about that. You know, everyone's sensitive about everything, but I don't hear a lot of people like, you know, that's not funny. Don't make fun of those mental institutions. Well, actually, I guess it got brought into light again here in Virginia, right? Because a senator or who was it, Dr.?
Oh, Cray Deeds.
Yeah, his son should have been in a mental institution. They wouldn't take him because they didn't have the room or something. And
yeah, so you can have someone. The police can have someone involuntarily committed for observation, and then, you know, a determination has to be made about do they need to be, you know, sent for further treatment or whatever. But, you know, it's based on available beds. There's only so many beds in hospitals that are designated for psychiatric patients and things like that. You don't have the places to send people for help in a lot of cases.
I mean, these are horrible situations.
Are the people to look after them? I mean, that was one of the kind of the key points in the Cropsey documentary, which if you've not seen that, watch that. That
yeah, oh, yeah.
Terrify the ever loving fuck out of you. But that Geraldo Rivera's special report, the one that kind of put him on the map, really, was based mostly around the fact that there were thousands of patients. And I think the ratio of staff to patients were in the hundreds to one member of staff, which is terrifying. You know, in some cases, like people were just left there by family members that didn't want them.
Yeah, anymore. Absolutely.
In other cases where people couldn't look after someone, you would put them in there so hopefully they would get the treatment that they needed to get better or just to live and to see the conditions as well, just because eventually they become kind of cattle storage for people that are mentally handicapped.
Demon possession. That will be next week's show, because clearly there is a demon somewhere.
What in the fuck was that?
It sounds like a blender that I tried to write off as a demon. I don't know what the hell it was. It's crazier, though, that, like, so we're talking about the overcrowding of these rooms, right? You know,
yeah.
The areas were, like Duncan said, it's like, you know, just cattle. You're just loading them in here. But then the people they had watching them, right? I mean, it's like one person to however, like what? I mean, like almost 30 to 40 patients that they were responsible for. And I could be way below the actual number on that, but I know it was outrageous circumstances for both the people that work there and obviously the people that were.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that, you know, even though the populations were just blowing up in these places, they weren't getting funded for enough staff to keep up with all of that, so you know they're just kind of.
I mean, that's hard for the people working there because yeah, the
well,
the crazy
yeah, eventually
people
you get
there,
to that stage where like you can't do your job, so it becomes so overwhelming that you just don't do your job. So you're not even looking after a small percentage of that. You're just not you know, no. It becomes overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, and it's not because you just want to be lazy. It's just too much for you. And even the ones that are trying hard and doing and doing everything they can, I mean, you're sending them home at night, and they're going crazy now. Because, I mean, you imagine being stuck around that and saturated in it every day. I just couldn't imagine doing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know.
Strong people.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence that folks who, you know, work in those types of institutions ended up exhibiting some of the same characteristics of the people they were around all the time. You know, it's kind of like kindergarten teachers need adult interactions so that they are not, you know, molding their minds back into the kindergarten mindset kind of thing. You know, we have them like all around this area apparently.
Kindergartens?
Yeah, kindergartens. No, the asylums.
They're all around.
I mean, Western State Hospital is still open. It moved to a new campus, and, you know, they obviously abandoned the DeJarnett approach and everything, but it's still very institutionalized in that they don't have the level of care and treatment that you would hope that a place like that has. I wish I knew where that goddamn echo was coming from, because I'm about to throw something and destroy
it. Speaking of asylums, this guy's going to need to get admitted to one. He's kind of lost his shit.
To the point that you guys were making about the overcrowding and everything, some of the medical procedures, like the restraints, the electroshock therapy, the lobotomies, all that stuff, was done because either one of three things. Somebody thought it was real medicine, someone was just a dick and wanted to torture people, or they were just using it as the only methods they could think of for crowd control to, you know.
This is an amazing experiment here to watch. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we are actually watching someone go crazy. I swear to God, I have nothing to do with this, but I wish you all could see. I'm watching him, and he's delivering his points, and every time he hears himself echo again into the microphone, you just see another level raise in his brain, and he's getting worse and worse. I'm ready for him to like flip something over here. I don't know where it came
Darren
from.
Darren says in the page, does anyone remember the movie The Dead Heat the Living, which takes place in an abandoned asylum?
Yeah. Oh shit. Yes. I watched it just because I like the name of it.
I've not seen that one. So.
Oh, you need to see that one. That's a fantastic movie.
Right. It's on my list.
Andrew Leslie, welcome to the group, buddy. He says,
"Hi, Andrew."
One of my favorite podcasts. Well,
so
thank you.
The place is still standing. Waverly's still intact, right?
Hell yeah, it is, because we already talked about motherfucker going down there.
You gonna
fucking Webula, goddamn it, Webula, Waverly.
You gonna have a hoedown?
Waverly, Webula.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all three of the places I talked about are still standing. Just one, Danvers is now Danvers apartments. Yeah, it's still there. It's just they've torn down a lot of the wings and a lot of the like support buildings. Most of these places were like their own little farm type thing. They had their own dairy because they thought that, you know, fresh milk or whatever helped with tuberculosis and other conditions. And, you know, they had it was very self-sufficient. So a lot of the like coal plants and power plants and chapels and all those things that Danvers have been torn down, and they have just part of the main building that's now apartments. Same thing at the old Western State Hospital. Western State, the original, got turned into a jail, and then it got turned into a luxury apartment complex. And anyone who wants to stay in a place that's been a mental asylum and a prison and is now fucking apartments, I couldn't be there.
Be there.
I want to go to Waverly and pull out, you know, those morgue things they pull out. They put the body.
That's all you're pulling out.
Yeah. What is he talking?
Pull it out.
Pull it out.
But I just want to go to sleep on those one night. I think that'd be a good.
No, well, now you would be the first one to be admitted to one of these places, because I know for a fact that STDs. They really thought, you know, clearly Jack the Ripper. They thought he had an STD.
You know, syphilis take out your brain after a while.
So I mean, we know that smoke syphilis would definitely be the first one to go in. I mean, I could see that. For sure.
He wants to go in and get sterilized just for a free vasectomy.
I think we should make a movie called Smoke Interrupted.
Give up the rubbers altogether.
He's all about this eugenic shit. That's actually what our building, I worked in the smoke building, and we had to change the name because he's big into eugenics. Nasty fucker.
I'm a big donor to the Margaret Sanger Foundation.
Did you ever finish the Cray Deed story? I don't remember if I ever heard the end of it, where he got in there and beat the fuck out of him. Did you say all that? Or did you get mad at the echo?
I think I got mad at the echo, but I said that they didn't. They weren't able to find a bed in a facility in time. They have a time limit of how long they can keep you. They weren't able to find a bed in a facility in time, so they had to release him by law. And you know, he got out and
fucked his dad up,
beat the hell out of his dad.
I thought he stabbed him all up in the face.
Yeah, you're right.
He didn't beat him up.
Right.
He stabbed that motherfucker.
Yeah,
in the face.
He just went out to the mailbox, and as he was coming back to the mailbox, he fucked him up.
Here's our asylum fact of the night. Thank you, Darren Wilson. He has just informed me that Soul Asylum apparently is still operational. They put out an album this motherfucking year.
You know, if you rearrange the words in what you have there, you could also get something cool. You could have Runaway Asylum and Soul Train.
Oh, okay. There you go. Nice. Nice job there.
Train.
Nice job. Genius. Yeah, that was pretty genius. I don't know if that's going to tie it all back together for
it
you.
Does.
But,
it brings it all right back.
Nephew Josh, he's turning 21. Russell C., thank you, your nephew Josh. I hope he's listening and getting drunk, motherfucker.
I hope he's not listening. I hope he's doing something fun.
Brickjack, Brickjack says he used to urban explore the state hospital up in Traverse City back in the day. I would have to say if I went into one of these asylums, because you remember they did this prank a while back with the owl. You remember the owl head?
Yeah.
I'd rather see that owl head and let him fuck me in my ear hole than run into Brickjack in one of these state hospitals. Are you fucking kidding me? I would be terrified.
Genuinely, to me, one of the most terrifying scenes in horror cinema history is the scene in Session 9 where the young kid is down in the tunnels and the lights start to go out behind him and he's running along.
It's terrifying.
As the lights go, it is absolutely fucking terrifying. And he's Jacob Cain's posted a picture of some tunnels underneath an insane asylum, and that's exactly what it fucking looks like. Fuck that.
We've got all those tunnels underneath my workplace. They go all over, but they don't look like that, of course.
No,
Holy shit. They look a lot better than that.
Yeah, but they look like Freddy should be down there, too.
They're steam tunnels. Yeah, they're steam tunnels, and they're terrifying. They go all over the campus and all underneath all the buildings.
We got a dark impression of Freddy.
Welcome to primetime, bitch.
He's like, I only know one Freddy line.
I popped off a bunch
last week.
I thought he was going to do the Dark Meat one again.
Yeah, he loves that one, but that's not because it's Freddy. Oh, no one loves that one, you son of a bitch.
Everybody loves the Dark Meat.
You sound more like the Tourette's guy now than you do Freddy Krueger.
Fuck.
Like, fuck some tits. Tit dirt.
It sounds like a cross between Scary Terry and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh, Scary Terry. Oh, my God. I can't wait till we get back and do... Oh, my God.
Season 2.
Get wrong, but you're getting high, bitch.
Just arrived in the UK on Netflix, so I now have it.
All I'm going to think about all night and in my sleep is him saying, I'm sorry, bitch, whatever he says when he's high. Fucking
total Rickall is probably the gem of that season.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
I will watch it, and whenever you want to talk about it, I will be there.
It's about time to go, but speaking of watching it, God damn it, who is watching Channel Zero out here? Somebody's got to be watching
this
shit.
I love it.
It's amazing.
That shit's boring.
Dude, he watched one episode of this motherfucker. I'm telling you, let it get into the third. It's getting really fucking balls crazy now. It's awesome.
I don't know if I can
mention that. You don't even mention Walking Dead. That's crazy.
Well, why mention it? We know everyone here have saw it. We know everyone. Did you not see the sloth memes that came in at the beginning of the show? Clearly, everybody has seen it. And
I'm
we all
find you, Maggie.
Well, you know, next week we have a vacation. So horrible.
Spoiler alert.
So, but I just don't like that he says,
"There's
I'll."
No way you. No one out there. No way does you not get know what I've done that.
But you know what? I wish you would have.
17 million people watch.
I feel bad for people that care about those spoilers because you can't get away from it. I'm sorry.
I legitimately did not go on Facebook at all of Monday until I watched it.
See, because that's the right way to do it. I understand that people get upset about it, but when they get on here now, I mean, okay. How many years now have shit been spoiled by the internet? If you don't know now to stay away,
then I don't know what to fucking tell you. I don't know what to tell you. By now, you have to know this is going to happen.
Yeah, maybe you should get off of Facebook and actually watch the show.
And the only thing that really pissed me off was that Negan, when he says, I'll find you, Maggie. He didn't go, okay, get up and do it. Let's see you do it with that one eye, motherfucker. Go ahead. See, here, let me spin you around. Woo! Go find her now. And just let him wander around.
Yeah, people like that. The special effects were so gnarly. It was like, it's Greg Nicotero that directed it. Of course, yes.
who did
special effects are gnarly.
AMA, you're right. The teeth monster. Eating the teeth. Forcing
myself. You missed something, though. Like, there was a dumpster behind Glenn. And so he may have rolled underneath that.
Oh, fuck. Shut up, dude. Come on. There was no head
could
left.
Still be alive.
No, they made sure that there was no question anymore. They made sure. I mean,
they may as well throw him in the dumpster right now.
It's a pile of hamburger.
Look, AMA says, Glenn and Abraham are dead. It's been 3 days. Get with it. I agree.
Your brains look like spaghetti.
No, and Alicia? Alicia, we are definitely not taking vacation next week. I did not get to finish that statement, Alicia, earlier, but we are not taking vacation next week. Dr. Dark will be taking vacation next week, so we will not have a Dark discussion. We won't have a Duncan Defends, so we got a lot of TV show shit to talk about. Yes, hopefully you will get a set, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know,
Did you ever do Horror's Biggest Badass Candy?
Yeah, we did, and guess who won? Reese's, because it's going to win, whether it's Pieces, Peanut motherfucking Cups, Easter fucking Eggs.
Amen, bro. So Reese's shit. Is the fucking Jason Voorhees of fucking candy.
Yeah, yep. Dude.
Yep.
We need to, I mean, you know, the funny thing is we could probably get away with doing Horror's Biggest Badass again and cutting out everyone that was in it the last time and making a new generation. I think there's enough of the people out there. I think there's enough people out there.
Make it so.
To do that. I think we should
put
do that.
Sydney's half-brother from Scream 3 in there.
I think we should. I think we should do, like, horror's worst badasses and just make the worst fucking list.
We could put horror's greatest soundtrack contributors in Creed. We win every time.
Jesus
Christ. That's the
Jason. Oh, yes. Let's do that. Let's have some cage matches against soundtrack songs. Let's do it. All right, we got all kinds of stuff because unlike most years, unfortunately for all of you listeners, we won't be leaving for November and December and January and coming back with the new format.
We lasted all the way right through.
We'll be back next week.
This is the first time ever.
Which is crazy because we'll be back next week. And this is after the obstacle that was last week's horrible static and loud shit. And we apologize to everyone. And hopefully this one's better. I think this one actually went okay. I don't think there was static like that.
And hopefully whichever one of you is causing this echo figures it out before.
Oh, my God. He is getting.
Maybe it's your dumb ass, motherfucker.
He's getting worked up.
I mean, it can't be just me.
Getting work, he's getting.
It wasn't me
because
it happened when I wasn't here.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not me either.
Lisa, you rock. Awesome motherfucking show. Hashtag TMHS was always great. Okay, you kick ass. You kick ass. Thanks everyone for joining us tonight. We will be back next week, 7 to 9 Eastern on Wednesday at TMHSradio.com or on the TuneIn app. That's channel TMHS Radio, all one word. Join the Facebook group. Come over here and have a good time. It's fun. Right? It's a lot of fun.
It's fun in here, guys.
We have a lot of fun
have
over here.
Have a happy Halloween, folks.
Yes, have a happy Halloween. We did all month and didn't talk about Halloween. So maybe that means next year we really bring it back to Hauntsford and go buck wild.
I think Hauntsford's what fucks us up.
It might be. It is. Andrew, thanks for joining us. Be like Andrew and come on board. Come on board over here and get down with us.
I think Frey cursed Hauntsford before he left.
I think he did, because Frey did it so amazingly, and then he got mad and left. So, there's that tooth guy. God,
get mad.
Alicia's put the tooth guy up. I can't take the tooth guy. Fucking shit. Him and Jawbone. I want to puke.
I gotta find that. Hopefully, it's on demand.
Dude, I told you where to go to get. All right, after the show's over, I'm gonna tell you. It doesn't matter. You can get it without goddamn commercials, and Sci-Fi has a lot of those. All right, so we'll be back next week. Peace out.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Later.
Trick or treats, bitch.
Ass.